Welcome one and all, once again. It's a brand new day, it's a brand new year here on the Amazingly Average Show.
Woo!
First show of 2017, and we'll get to why in just a second, but let's introduce our group this week. As always, I'll be your, well not as always, but I'll be your host this week, Earl. We have Scott.
Hey!
Or I guess Papa Scott now.
Papa Scott.
Which sounds weird because I'm still older than you, but whatever.
Whatever.
Sounds like Papa Squat.
Works too. And
it does sound like that. Damn.
And you heard Dan the Third.
Dan the Third.
Or as I apparently found out this weekend, DTM.
Yep. DTM.
So yes, as I noted, Scott just recently had his first kid. And
yes, I did.
Dan moved to New York, so they've had a very busy and productive January.
Very busy. Well, I think I was busier about 9 or 10 months ago, you know.
Hey, yo.
awkward. But, yeah. Today, my daughter is actually exactly a month old. Well, as of the recording of this podcast, not as of the release. Thank you.
Yes, and he has surprisingly found time to record. I guess she's down for a nap.
she sleeps now so that she can keep us up between the hours of 3 and 7 a.m.
That's always good. Who needs rest?
Right. And then she sleeps for an hour and wakes up again at 9. Around 9.
I mean,
8 or 9.
On the bright side, she has a schedule. I mean, it might not be a great schedule, but she has a schedule.
It's very hard to adapt to being nocturnal. I have to say, but we're doing our best.
Get through it. Hopefully.
And Dan, anything about your move to my fun-filled city?
No, it's been good. Been good. A lot of good food and just, yes, it's later, recording later in the night than I'm used to.
Oh, I was about to say, it's the same time for Scott and I.
Yeah, for me, it's like, oh, it's late. But it's good. Ready to go.
Ready to go. Fired up, ready to go. So, yes, as the first show of 2017, what better thing to do than think back at 2016? So this is going to be the annual Rocky Awards, which is the apparent OU thing we carried over from the previous shows, keeping the name of the award show, just because I liked it.
Well, we also carried each other over.
On our backs. At the same time, I was also going to say, Sam was all prepared to do this show. He came up with categories and everything, and now he's MIA again, so I have no idea what's going on with that. Anyhow, we have a bunch of nonsensical topics because who wants, I mean, at this point, everybody's done their best game, best movie, best blah, 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 blah. So we're going to the awards that you don't see at the Oscars or the Emmys or the Tonys or the Grammys or the MTV.
The awards they don't want you to see.
The awards that are too hot for TV and radio and podcast and anything else, you know, webs, whatever.
No, we're doing podcasts.
Shh. So, there's a bunch of different categories, like I said, and I guess we'll kick it off with the most glaring pothole. Well, I was going to say pothole, that's a whole different category.
Well, potholes are also bad.
And that would go to Ninja Turtles, of course, because most glaring potholes was the little thing they shot at a turtle van. So there you go.
Wow. Okay. But starting with the with the showstopper. Trying to start with the showstopper.
So, and just for the record, I have not been drinking too much tonight.
Well, that's a very bad thing. I think that we should stop this so that you can drink too much for the podcast.
I am already giddy, so let's carry on. So,
carry on.
Most glaring pot. Plot hole. Wow, I was going to say it again. Plot hole. I forget who actually recommended this one.
I think it was me.
Do you have something for us?
I did when I came up with the idea, but I had a kid in between that time. So,
I don't think it's the most Gurren pothole, but I'm just going to give it to Yakshutha and Baron Zemo for having the most convoluted plots, and that so much could go wrong if people did not act exactly how they needed to in certain situations for either of their schemes to make sense.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. The only thing that I haven't seen a lot of the movies that have come out in 2016. Some of them I unfortunately don't have time for, but, due to a lot of circumstances. But I would say that one of the most glaring plot holes for me would kind of have to do with Captain America Civil War. And it's like I was talking about last year with Spider-Man. I don't like how they kind of, it's not really a plot hole, but it's more like they're kind of filling up in plot with something else. But I don't like how, I think that he could have been introduced better in another time. And I think that the plot hole would be, where has he been? Why didn't he help with the Battle of New York, stuff like that, you know?
I mean,
it's not a very good plot hole, but
I was going to say, that's always a plot hole with a lot of Marvel films. I mean, you could say the same thing with Suicide Squad. Like, everybody's like, where's Batman and Wonder Woman during the whole Enchantress thing? And it's like, I mean, in comic books, you just have to, because, like, okay, like, look at the Arrowverse. Like, why doesn't Arrowverse just call Flash most of the time to do stuff for him instead of jumping around in that van?
Yep.
The world will never know. And I also think, and I don't want to drum up a recent one, is I think we had that conversation about Rogue One with the whole thing with the dad. I mean, it's not a plot hole. It's just a really convoluted way of getting her these plans to build up the Death Star, which has a super, super tiny weakness that he wanted for her to exploit, but there was no easy way for her to get the plans to actually exploit the weakness. Okay. Speaking of Star Wars, but
speaking of Star Wars,
least impactful character death. Now, I think I came up with this one, and I think the reason I came up with this
probably
one is that Superman died twice in 2016, and I honestly don't think people cared either time he died.
Well, are you counting the existence of Batman versus Superman as one of his deaths?
Yes.
Or do we have to make it three?
No, I'm counting that as one of his deaths.
Okay.
And then he died in the comic books maybe a month later. And
in both cases, though, like, not really.
Well, I mean,
it's like I feel like every comic book hero death is not impactful. Because they always bring him back.
And,
like, what? Who cares?
And
Superman's dead again.
And I think that's kind of the point. Because, like, the death of Superman was really the thing that kicked this off over 20 years ago with the whole, oh, we're going to kill a hero and bring, you know, like, that's going to be big and impactful. And that's kind of what they're going for at the end of Batman versus Superman. Except it's kind of like, okay, yeah, he's dead.
Wasn't he in the poster for Justice League?
And I mean, that's the other thing with these connected universes. But, and then, like, he died in the comic books, and to Dan's point, like, literally, he dies, and there's literally, like, a Superman standing right next to him, so it's like, oh, he's dead, but we got this guy, and we actually have this guy more.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that goes across the board, because, you know, people, like, Cyclops died last year. I don't think anybody knew that or cared about that.
Yeah, ever since Cyclops went loony way back when, kind of stopped caring about him.
Yeah, I mean, that's always, I think, you know, like you said, it's a comic book thing, so most of these impactful deaths will always be comic book related.
But I would say, also, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Rogue One, but I would say that every character who died in Rogue One was pretty not impactful, even on me, and I love Star Wars, because I kind of went in there expecting them to die, so when they did die, I was like, oh, this, you know, like, duh. Like, that was going to happen, so.
Yeah.
When you're expecting it, doesn't impact
you. It's tough when it's a prequel, though, you know?
Yeah, that too. So.
Yeah.
Some would make it even less impactful on
me. Yeah,
I
think
knowing that they're dead by the time episode 8 comes around, The Last Jedi.
See, that's an interesting case because it's less impactful because you know they have to die, because you know they don't come out, you know they don't survive for the episode 4. So it's like you have to expect it, but I think they do a good job of kind of thinking that they might have a chance of survival.
To an extent, I thought that there was a chance that Jyn Erso and the guy whose name I can't remember might have been able to get off, but
up until like the beam, I actually thought like maybe they'd find like a fighter or something and fly off Canada or something just in time, and I say nope, they're dead.
dead like Death Star to the face dead.
Yeah. This is another one of my awards, and this should be called the CW Honorary Award, but it's the best fight inside of an abandoned warehouse or dock, because apparently if you're a superhero TV show, the only place you can fight is inside an abandoned warehouse or on the docks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if you're lucky, you get into a parking garage.
Yeah, but I have to say I didn't realize how many fights like in superhero things occurred in abandoned warehouses or docks or just like open spaces, but not really that open, like inside, so nobody can see it.
Yeah, I think the big thing for them is just it's easier. Like they probably use like the same warehouse and just move around stuff, so it's like a different location every time, because I cannot imagine that Star City or Central City or National City have all of these empty warehouses, because the economy would be awful.
Maybe it is awful.
Maybe it is awful.
Have you checked the stock market for those fictional cities?
I have not actually, but...
They're in a recession. That's why there's so many villains.
They could be. Then why are they villains sticking around? They have nothing to steal.
Well, they just want to pass.
And it's not just the CW shows. I was also going to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a lot of fights that take place in warehouses.
When I think of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's what I think of. Fights in warehouses.
Though I will give them this much. They are much better at dressing it up than the CW show. I think they have a bit more money, so it's easier for them to dress it up. Because like what happens at the CW show, for example, you'll go to a warehouse and there's like two crates, and that's pretty much all the fight's going to take around. Whereas like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has geometry and stuff like that. And all I had to say is like I'm going through all these scenarios, and this was an award I cheated at because I had a winner in mind, but I knew the nominees. And my winner is Batman vs. Superman, the scene that Batman fights at the docks. Because that is an actual dock. Like, it looks like a place where things happen.
Boats go.
Yeah, and that the warehouse has more. Like, it's a warehouse that looks like it stores stuff. It's not just an empty, vacant room. And it's also one of the best fights in a movie of the last year. But I did want to point out how often the CW and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fight in warehouses and docks. And sometimes parking lots.
They probably just have limited set options. Like they, like you know, like you were saying, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. probably has quite a lot of money under their belt, but they definitely don't. They can't. I don't know the figures, but they can't have as much as like one of the MCU films. Like,
I don't know.
Why the Avengers movies can fight on floating cities, and they have to fight inside the same warehouse, redone 60 times.
Oh, no, I completely get the logistical reasons of it. I know why. It's just really funny that they don't do anything to dress it up more, because other shows can kind of do that. I mean, if you watch old... And I guess that was a bit different, and they probably had a bit more time, but if you watch, like, the Batman 66 show, they dressed up the sets a lot more. Granted, they had, like, the giant bat, you know, like, bat signs and stupid gags and stuff like that. But you can dress it up and add some color to it. I think just with the advent of technology, they they rather not waste post-production time trying to hide the premises. So they just kind of go for like a default where it's like everything can be set up easily without any distraction. And again, it's not like they, it's not like you don't have fights other places. Like, you know, this week Arrow had fights on the rooftop, and you know, Flash had a Ryoku fight with Vibe in National City's Cat's old office. So, you know, they have stuff like that, but for the most part, it's easier to just do garages and docks and warehouses. But this is almost a good segue, except I talked all over it. But the award for, they spent how much on this? Which speaks to something that is either really well done on a low budget, or something you can't imagine they spent that much money on. Do you folks have any thoughts?
Huh.
Like, I know what mine's is, but I want to hear what you two say.
Let me think. Nothing came to the top of my head, but I got nothing. You got to give me a minute.
You start our own.
Yeah.
Well, I came up with this because, and I've made fun of it most of the year. They spent $125 million on the Ben-Hur movie. I don't know if anybody was craving a Ben-Hur remake in 2016. I don't know if anybody's craving a 100 million plus Ben-Hur movie in 2016.
I think I can beat you, actually, Earl. They put out that Monster Trucks movie.
But that's this year.
Oh, is that this year? Okay,
yeah,
damn.
That's already on my list for next year.
Okay. Never mind then.
Though that's a great story because they spent it's between 120 and 150 million. But it's an idea of like an executive 4-year-old son.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't get inspiration from him, but maybe not take his idea literally.
And spend over 100 million on it.
There's a reason he's not going with the company.
Yeah.
It ended up actually doing well, but I was going to say Tarzan's another one. I think they spent like $150 million on that. I don't necessarily think anybody needed a big budget Tarzan movie.
I didn't really think we needed a Tarzan movie.
That might also be the case, but yeah, I don't think you need to spend that much on it. And I guess, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, I think the big one from last year was Deadpool. Deadpool cost like $50 million, which is about a third of every other comic book movie came out last year, and it was the second highest grossing of the third highest. I forget it. No, Batman vs Superman made more money worldwide, but Deadpool made more money domestically. So that's the third highest grossing comic book movie of the year, and I think one of the most profitable movies of the year because it's a $50 million. Movie that made almost $800 million worldwide.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, best use of music in a movie, TV show, video game trailer, or the Kanye West Power Appreciation Award.
The Kanye West Power Appreciation Award.
Have you never seen Power used in a trailer? I think it's actually used in the Power Rangers trailer, which I'm still surprised by.
Well, the Power Rangers in general is just still surprising me. But,
I don't know why that. I mean, I'm a Power Rangers fan. That even exists. I don't get who's the audience for this.
There is no audience. I think they just figure people who like action will view this movie, but I'm not very interested in seeing it. I like action. But, let's see. Best use of music in a movie / TV show / video game trailer.
I think Earl's gonna not like me for this, but I think Suicide Squad had the best trailers, and largely because of the music. So,
I don't disagree with it. I think everybody would agree that Suicide Squad had amazing trailers. The problem was they didn't make a movie out of it. And that actually, we'll get to that in a bit. That goes to an award we actually came up with. I don't necessarily know if Suicide Squad will win that, but yes, Suicide Squad is up there, I think. Which one, though?
I really like the You Don't Know Me song, and the trailer with that one, so.
Yeah, I would also point out
that, I'd give it that.
The Guardians 2 trailer came out last year, too, so that would
technically
the second one would count.
I didn't think it was as good as, the trailers for the first one. At least not yet, but in terms of, like, music and stuff, but.
Because I think that, I think the third one should be the one that hit it out of the park. The first two have kind of been eh for me, but that's me.
No, I agree.
I'm trying to think of any video game ones that stood out to me last year. Yeah, I got nothing.
I mean, there was a lot of, like, I heard this a lot of, like, they redo the slow, like, they'll take a song and then do a cover of it, but then slow it down and do a slow motion, like Gears did it. And I mean, this would probably be worst use of music, but like Gears, Dishonored, like and movies did it too, but I think it was worse in video games. So,
yeah. I mean, but I remember the first one was Age of Ultron that I really remember doing it. And that's essentially what Suicide Squad did too. I started a dream. Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, it works. It just reminds me of Gears of War 3 with the Mad World theme song during Dom's death, spoilers. And I'm just like,
Are you supposed to say spoilers before?
I'm saying spoilers for a game that I believe is, 7 years old now?
Well, what if I didn't play it?
Have you not played it?
I played it.
Okay.
I didn't play it, but I don't care.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've not played Gears of War 3 by now, they've made two games since then.
Two?
Yes, they made Judgment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's exactly, that's the right response to Judgment. That exists, right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I feel like a lot of Xbox One exclusives, so.
But that was an Xbox 360 game.
No, whatever. Same thing.
He's like, move on, no more Gears of War talk.
I mean, I did like Horde mode in 3, gotta say. But that's about it.
Horde mode is the best invention of the Gears franchise. I don't know if it's the invention, but I feel like it popularized that mode. Horde. And Benjo was his name-o. Best streaming show or movie, original movie of 2016.
Wait, so the best streaming movie would be a movie that came out in 2016 that was streamable?
No. How Netflix has like the original Netflix movies, or
gotcha.
For me, this one's super easy.
Okay, so what is it?
Stranger Things.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
I mean, that was one of the best, one of my favorite shows ever. And yeah,
forever. Yeah,
I watched it in like literally 2 days, so it accounts for the binging. So
I will say this much about Stranger Things: I was so happy. I don't know if it was the creator or if it was a budgetary thing. They made it 8 episodes, so it's one of the few Netflix shows that does not suffer from the Netflix problem.
I feel like at this point it's a Marvel problem. Like every other Netflix show doesn't have that problem.
I disagree. I think Fuller House has that problem. That's a sitcom. I think Orange is...
Well, Fuller House's issue is its existence. So
its existence aside, it's like a comedy that doesn't know how to shave off time. It's like, you know, most comedies on TV shows are about 22, 23 minutes. Out of these episodes go 30, 35 minutes, and I'm just like, you can shave off a good 10 minutes and make this a much tighter show with all the jokes in instead of trying to stretch things out. I've heard similar things about Gilmore Girls, but I didn't watch that. Orange is the New Black, Orange is the New Black, it depends. I think this was one the best season since the first one. But like in previous seasons, I feel like they are so scattered shot that like there's no real focus into like the final two episodes on what they wanted the season to be about.
That's definitely fair. I actually haven't watched Orange is the New Black in a while, and partly that's because the watching each episode in itself after season one, well, and kind of season two. Like I watched a few episodes of season three, and I didn't know what was going on or why things were happening the way they were, and felt like just a waste of time. So, you know, nothing interesting was really happening. And yeah, I think that might be attributed to the fact that they don't know how to manage their time, or maybe it was just becoming a worse show. But I think, Earl, you've apparently watched it since season three. I don't even know what season they're on right now. What, four, five, six?
The next one's the fifth season.
Okay. But season four was the best one since one?
Yeah, I think so.
It was really good, yeah. I agree.
I was a fan of Ultron, which is already.
Does Larry come back?
No, he doesn't. Which I'm actually disappointed in. I understand why, though, but I did feel like, and I know why people have an issue with it. I did think that having Piper as a central character grounded the show in some direction, and then once they made it more of an ensemble, it's like there's so many characters and plot threads that everything's just kind of like, we're going here, we're going here, we're going there. And a lot of that stuff doesn't necessarily cross over until the end.
Mm-hmm.
House of Cards, similar I mean, I guess I can't finish House of Cards just because I always feel like Kevin Spacey's character is just so smart that it's just like it's not fun, because you realize no matter what he does, no matter what people do to him, he's going to come out on top, and that's not fun to watch after a while, because you need
I think it's just when he became president, it's hard because that, like, he was gunning for that the whole time, and so it's hard to.
Not the underdog anymore.
And also, real life is just as
messed up, even more so. But we won't get into that. This is a politics-free show this week. Yep. But yeah, I mean, I think Stranger Things was an easy win. I think that was a slam dunk. I was trying to think of any original movies they had. Was Sense8 last year or the year before?
I think that was like the end of 2015, but I can check. But I didn't really like Sense8, honestly.
I liked it, but it wasn't like.
Yeah, it was 2015.
Yeah, and then the Christmas special, I guess, was last year.
Did either of you watch Black Mirror? Because that I'm sure a lot of people would
see,
put
that
the.
That was kind of. I mean, I guess the season would count because that was. That was a show that they picked up after it got canceled.
Yeah. But
I actually did not see this, but I've heard people talk about it, but I don't know what it's about.
It's about a back mirror. You can't see anything through it. That's not what it's about.
Isn't that a wall? Or I guess I'm missing something.
I've not seen it, but I've also heard good things about Man in the High Castle.
It's good. It's a little slow, and it's a little bit just off. It's a little off. Like, it just doesn't hit the mark completely. So, I mean, it's an interesting. The concept's really interesting, obviously, but the acting is a little bit shaky, I would say.
Okay. So yeah, Stranger Things is the best bingeable show. I'm really kind of curious to see what season two is.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious / worried, but yeah, I have faith in them because it was so good.
But it also took a while, I think. I feel like it's the same thing with Westworld. Westworld took years to develop, and I feel like when season two comes out, it's just not going to be what people want. This is actually a, I don't even know if you folks remember this one. This is an award that I came up with, and I think we all had different interpretations of what it meant. But the Koo Han-Yuk Failure to Communicate Award, which I came up with as a award for communicating with people via like PR and stuff. This was at the end of 2016, and Hell Games with No Man's Sky was just awful with any type of post-launch communication. And I think they still are. I don't really think they've spoken much since then.
Yeah, I don't think so. The only thing that I heard of was that one like developer in Hello Games being like, "This game sucks," and then that was it. Which isn't a very good thing for them to be saying, but yeah, I think that easily takes the cake. Because I honestly, like, in comparison to that, I don't think that any lack of communication between two parties could possibly be worse. And the two parties being Hello Games and the rest of the world in this case.
And they really, really hurt Jeff Keighley's feelings. Because he promoted that on the Game Awards a few years back. And yeah. But when I mentioned it, I think it was Dan, who also pointed out that it could actually be in-universe as well. And I think at the time your discussion was for Oliver Queen on Arrow.
Who does nothing. Yeah, he's just... It's like, oh, you were on an island and you met aliens there that could have helped us, and now, like, just, you know... Especially with Diggle. I feel bad for Diggle.
I feel bad for a lot of people.
Diggle and Felicity. We're going to get to crossover stuff, but, like, I feel like it's worse on the Arrow, you know, just in non-crossover episodes, just, like... The people he's around a lot, just not good at...
Yeah, I feel like after 5 years, he should have told Felicity and Diggle everything. Because you still get those moments like, I've never seen anything like that before. And then Arthur's like, not exactly.
Yeah.
Like, really? You haven't told them yet?
Yeah.
And he was prepared to marry Felicity.
I know. It's... I mean, it's obviously... The way they tell the stories and, like, the way they can, like... They obviously don't know, like, what he's seen yet. I mean, they're apparently done with the flashbacks, right? Like, starting next year, so...
We'll see.
Maybe there'll be less of that.
But, and this is another one that I think we came up with, is that this can also apply to... Captain America and Iron Man in Civil War, and Batman and Superman and Batman v Superman.
Yeah, I think that's who I would give it to, is Batman Superman.
I would give it to both. I would give it to Batman versus Superman for literally not being able to communicate, because Superman's trying to talk to him and he's trying to kill him. But also the fact that like, Steve Rogers and Captain America and Iron Man are apparently such great best friends that neither one of them can actually sit down and hear the other person. You can talk to somebody, but they're not hearing each other. And that movie would have been so much shorter if they actually listened to each other.
Yeah, but when have those two ever listened to each other?
But see, that's my beef with Civil War, is like they present them as like these great best friends. And like they never really showed it in the movies. It's like they were fighting the last time we saw them in Age of Ultron. They kind of fought the first time they met in the Avengers.
Well, actually, in Age of Ultron, the last time they were talking about putting Thor's hammer in an elevator. That's interesting and very lighthearted, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, most of that movie, like, most of the times they interact on screens, they're kind of... They're not fighting, but they're bickering. Like, there's... always some tension between them. So it's weird to present them as best friends because we never really got that.
Yeah, I've never felt like, and this is not like a jab at the MCU, but, well, I guess it kind of is, but I never really saw Iron Man and Captain America as anything close to friends, more like people who respect each other and work together, which is fine. Two superheroes who have very different personalities can do that and be that, but then don't try to pass it off as a friendship.
Yeah.
Because if they were friends, they would have talked to each other and probably not have fought over basically nothing really too important, and or wouldn't have been important, you know?
And that's why I think they also get further to communicate. But just, you know, not to beat up on the movie too much. If at the looking at the MCU as a whole, I think actually Tony and Bruce are much better friends on screen, because they seem they seem to gel much better in their movies. They've and they've also shown them hanging out outside of these movies at the end of Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to a lesser extent, I would imagine Captain America's best friend is Black Widow. I mean, that's what I got from Winter Soldier and this. So.
That could be. I think so. I would say Bucky, but not really.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess Bucky, but.
But no, he you know, like mind warping and all that. He's a little strange now.
Well, I mean, Bucky is his best friend, but they don't really hang out much until. Like, he dies, like, halfway through Captain America, and then they don't really kind of reconcile until, like, midway through Civil War.
Okay. But he's with him till the end of the line, Earl.
Until the end of the line, which is another problem. But yes, any of those, Hello Games, Oliver Queen on Arrow, Batman and Superman, or Captain America and Iron Man, all have different degrees of failure to communicate. All of them are legitimately... a very great use of that term, and all very different. Cosmic Crash, crossover of the year. Now, this actually was a tough one.
Really?
Well, yes. I mean, I think, okay, what would yours be?
Oh, I mean, it's totally the Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow crossover, for sure.
Yeah, I don't even watch those, and that already sounds like the answer.
See, I would completely give it to it, except I'm a huge fanboy of certain things, and the first ever Batman and Ninja Turtles crossover in comic books was amazing. It was fantastic. So, for me, I mean, just having two my childhood favorites actually crossed meet for the first time in a great 6-part comic with fantastic art. I mean, I don't double dip in comics often, or triple dip. I bought these in floppies, I bought the hardcover, I bought a digital copy for a friend. I just loved the crossover so much. Like, for the most part, I think the Supergirl thing aspect of it was kind of dumb, but whatever. The Aliens versus Heroes crossover, that was fantastic. And I give them all the props in the world. I think that being able to cross over 4 shows over 3.25 night is something I don't think you've ever seen on TV before. And it would be up there in any other year. But for me, it has to be Batman and the Ninja Turtles.
Okay, I can see why you would think that that's a wonderful crossover. That's not something that I was aware of, so I'm kind of upset that I didn't know
I'm surprised you were not aware of it. I'm pretty sure every time it came out on Twitter, I was like, oh my gosh, there's a new Batman and Ninja Turtles crossover issue. I think I literally gave it out during Christmas, because I'm like, you know, this was my favorite comic of the year. And I'm like, it's like $15. I'll buy it for somebody on Comixology, and I did that. But yeah, and they have a new one, which I'm not as keen on. It's because it's the Batman the Animated Series crossing over with the new Nickelodeon Ninja Turtles, where the first one was the comic book Batman crossing over with the comic book Ninja Turtles. And I think those characters gel a bit more than the two animated versions do. And just to throw some other ones out there, Green Lantern and Star Trek was another good crossover. The actual crossover of the year, New Girl and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That was an actual thing. I'm not making that up.
It's a little disappointing, though.
It wasn't even a crossover. I mean, it was a crossover, but it's hitting like one scene in each show. If that, maybe it was like 5 minutes combined on the two shows. I forget if Bones and CP Hollow was this year or the year before. That was another crossover that happened.
No idea. I mean, it's going to happen more and more. I mean, like, what, Men in Black?
And 21 Jump Street. Drums. Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I don't know if that movie's going anywhere. I have not heard anything about it since then.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
But yes, I mean, crossovers are a... Especially in comic books, because we have He-Man and Thundercats right now. You know, DC's doing a crossover with Hanna-Barbera. So you get stuff like the Suicide Squad and the Bananas Fit. Stuff like that, which is just off the wall. You get, you know, you have, like I said, the Batman Ninja Turtles. You have Green Lantern and Planet of the Apes. Yeah. And then, you know, with the DC shows, we just found out today, as of this recording, that they might do Black Lightning. So there's a possibility that this fall we might have a 5-show crossover event, which would be somehow even more insane.
Would be awesome.
I
it should be like 10 every show, like twice a night, just DC shows.
I do think we're hitting. I think we're hitting maximum capacity. Yes, I'm dropped. Well, I'll talk about that another time. Okay, this one I forget what we. I forget who came up with this or what we had in mind. Most unrealistic haircut. I assume it's probably a Final Fantasy game.
Hmm.
Yeah, we got nothing.
I don't know.
I don't play much Final Fantasy, so...
Okay,
I don't know.
Our final two awards of the evening. Worst movie with a deceptively good trailer. This is what I was mentioning with Suicide Squad, possibly being able to take it. But I think there were other candidates this year. I guess it depends on what you describe as a good trailer. Because there was the... Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt movie, which I think a lot of people were intrigued
Passengers, by. Passengers, yeah.
Which a lot of people were intrigued by the choice, and that turned out to be a dud of a movie.
What about Warcraft?
I didn't think Warcraft did good from the trailers. I wanted it to
Well,
be
I
good.
Did. I did.
So, I mean, an obvious is Suicide Squad, right, for you?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's Suicide Squad. Like, it's the... one that I was most set down by, but I'm trying to.
You hated it when we were talking about it. You were.
I'm trying to be generous here. I'm trying to keep up the nice guy routine. But yes, I Suicide Squad was easily my most disappointed movie last year. That goes without saying. Yeah, and it had amazing trailers. I still watch the trailers since I've seen it. And I'm like, I would still go see that movie. Even though I've seen the movie and know I don't like it, I would still go see the movie based off the trailer. So yes, we're going to give that to Suicide Squad. And, well, I think we all have different opinions of this. I think we actually have judged this before. But the final award of the evening is the best worst comic book movie of the year. And I think for me, actually, it's not Suicide Squad.
Yeah, because that might be the worst best. But what's the best worst?
Well, best worst, I think. Okay, the best worst for me would be Batman vs. Superman. I'm a huge fan of it. I know most people hate it. But the... Worst would be X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah. Okay. I think that is fair.
What about you?
I'm debating. It might be a little bit of an unpopular thing to say, but I think that Deadpool might be what I would consider the best worst. And I only say that because of maybe, I think it's because of how I didn't see Deadpool right away, and I had a couple weeks of people kind of not spoiling it, but hyping it up. And then I was like, yeah, then it was like, yeah, this is good, but you know, it's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I disagree, but I mean, I can see that. I mean, yeah, I think we all are pretty, actually our range on comic book movies is pretty good. You know, we don't always love the same ones.
I don't think we ever have the same ones this year. Like
this year especially, yeah.
I think we were all within a range with like having certain ones, but yeah, because you haven't told us your best worst one yet.
So is this so best worst?
You could do best, you could do best worst and worst worst. Best worst means the movie that was good, but
like kind of like a baddish movie, but was still good. Does that make sense?
I would give that to X-Men then, because I am a sucker for the X-Men, and I love, you know, I liked the, you know, I liked the Sansa as Jean Grey, and it was not a good movie, but yeah, if I had to like
pick a bad movie that you like the most.
I would say X-Men, and then bad, I would give it to Batman vs. Superman. But I don't like hating on it because everyone does, but I just wasn't a big fan of it and was very excited about it, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Good day.
Yeah. And it shall be a very stiff competition this year. We have like 50 dozen comic book movies coming out this year.
Oh god, yeah.
I mean, I already know what my best movies is, so best comic movie.
Well, I mean, just, I guess this isn't a thing, and we kind of mentioned our favorite movies before, but I guess now with kind of Oscar race heating up and stuff, have any of you seen any of the Oscar movies yet?
The what movies?
Oscar-nominated movies, like Moonlight, Arrival.
I've seen Arrival. I loved Arrival.
I generally don't watch movies that get appointed, like, nominated for Oscars.
Really?
Even after they're nominated?
Especially after they're nominated. Kidding. No, I mean, I usually go to the movies and, like, I watch the new Star Wars movies, and I watch most
that,
of the Marvel.
You know, before last year, I mean, that happened, like, once every 30 years.
But I meant more, but I mean, even after that, like, even if it's, like, on HBO or something, you won't check it out.
I don't have HBO. And I don't really know if movies are Oscar nominated. I don't know.
How do you not? Okay. So I checked that Moonlight this week.
Is Criminal Minds Oscar nominated?
I thought that was a TV show.
It is.
Okay.
Damn. The Oscars are only for movies?
Yes. Emmys are for TV shows. And so are the Golden Globes. It's very confusing.
So many awards.
But yes,
have they thought about condensing it so it actually matters?
They should. I mean, the ones that matters. Like, you know, people talk about the EGOTs, Emmys, Golden, the Emmys, Grammys, Oscars, and Tonys are kind of the big ones. And then everything else is just window dressing. Because nobody cares if you're People's Choice or MTV Movie Award or, you know, whatever else there is. The SAGs, I think, were this week.
I mean, I really, you know, I like seeing all the award, you know, the nominated award movies before the awards and, like, you know, figuring out which ones I liked and stuff and which I want to win. And I do really want to see them all. I just, you know, I think, you know, as Scott's been busy, I've been busy. And, like, I wanted to see La La Land and there's a lot of movies over Christmas, you know, Christmas that I didn't get to see, but... Yeah, I mean, I've heard, you know, I think it's fun to, like, know what movies are considered the best and to see if you agree, because, like, like Crash, you know, one of the worst movies, and that won Best Picture. So it's kind of fun. But
yeah, I think this year is much better for me. I think from the last year and the year before, I could be wrong about the year before. Like, I know last year for sure, I was just not interested in any of the ones that were nominated. But there's actually a lot of them that this year caught my eye, even before, like, they were nominated. Like, I wanted to see Manchester by the Sea. I've heard such good things about Fences. I wanted to see Arrival. Though apparently, nobody has spoiled it for me yet, I hope. But from what I understand, it's not what you expected. Like, I expected it to be like an alien invasion movie. Apparently, it's nothing like
that. Oh, no.
So.
It's nothing like that. It's more like Contact.
Okay, I've heard that, and some people said like District 9 done well.
It's not as action-y as that.
I saw Moon Knight.
But it's really good.
I was actually more interested in Moon Knight because of the poster. It's a really good poster. And High End I wanted to see, but I was like, nobody's going to go see a musical with me.
I would have, Earl.
Well, then you're invited to go see, because I think it's, because Regal's having a $35 sale, I think, $35, and you can see any of these movies on like select days between February 17th and the 24th, I think.
Yeah.
So that's actually...
I'd be going back to work at that point.
Making up excuses already, Scotty.
No, my baby bonding time ends eventually. Yeah. I've been bonding.
He says as his daughter's who knows where right now.
She's in the other room with, I don't know, someone.
Some strange.
Somebody.
Somebody just said, can I hold your kid? He's like,
well, she is strange, but she's not a stranger, and that would be my wife.
But yes, Ed. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it helps if you know people in the biz. Like, sometimes I can get screeners, not often, but sometimes. And actually, some of the movies, just because of the turnaround, like, I think Arrival's already on video on demand. Like, I think you can rent it from Amazon Video, or I guess most people would say iTunes.
Yeah, I think I'm surprised they don't do that more. They're still trying to push the movies in the theaters, but like, it'd be cool if it was like $20 and you just got like all the nominees or something.
Which I think I understand it from their point of view, because you look at I think it was like that was nominated, and like the weekend after the nomination, the box office just skyrocketed. So it kind of makes sense for that last-minute push.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do think that, especially when you're in contention, because a lot of things... Okay, we'll save this for an Oscar talk, closer to the Oscars. Is there anything else you folks want to talk about 2016 with? That's not a full sentence.
I don't know. Honestly, 2016, a lot happened. A lot of good, a lot of bad, and it's over. And 2017 also is a year, so.
It's been quite the year, and we'll be on February.
I think you couldn't say it any better.
Thank you.
So, yes. For Dan, Scott, and myself, this has been our Rocky Awards for 2016. We'll
Woo.
Catch you when we catch you.